Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Cindy Fowler from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the Garden Smart e-newsletter, Dave's Garden website, the HGTV's e-newsletter, state-by-state gardening e-newsletter, and maybe from terrific Garden Tonics by Jerry Baker. Our first article is from the State by State Garden e-newsletter, titled Winter Sowing by Rebecca Stoner Kurtz. I first heard about the technique of winter sowing for starting seeds listening to a podcast a year ago. Hosts were homesteaders from Texas. They had extensive gardens and sold plants. They propagated most of their seedlings using this method. A Google search provided me with much more information. According to Trudy Davidoff, winter sowing is a method by which seeds are sown into containers that act like mini greenhouses. These seed vehicles are located outside, experience the chill of winter, and eventually germinate in spring. I don't have a greenhouse, and finding a suitable area is very difficult for me. The idea that I could start seeds outside set my wheels in motion, so I gave this method a try. After one attempt, I am hooked. That is not to say I had a 100% success rate with no problems, but pros outweighed the cons, and I am going to use this method again. This is how I did it. 1. I sorted through my recycling to find an assortment of potentially usable plastic containers. Milk jugs, vinegar jugs, vegetable containers, large fruit plastic containers, and beverage bottles all went into the potential greenhouse pile. 2. I decided to start with perennials. I have had good luck directly sowing annuals, but not perennials. All summer I collected seed packets, buying them when they went on sale. I tried to focus on ones I wanted to plant in mass and ones I have not had success with direct sowing. I tried parsley, both curly and flat leaf. I need these for my spice bush swallowtails to munch. And hollyhocks, I am still experimenting with this beauty, as it always dies in my garden. But I am determined. And butterfly weed to add to my butterfly garden and other perennials. I tried to choose seeds that required cold stratification to germinate. 3. Early in January, I enlisted the help of my husband to prepare the bottles. I have a lousy track record with knives, so I thought that would be the best approach. 4. We cut the milk and vinegar jugs open about one-third of the way down and only three-fourths around. It resembled a lid that opened but remained attached. My husband made drainage holes on the bottom of the plastic jugs using a box cutter and a drill. Salad green containers already had hinged lids, just needed additional drainage holes. 5. I purchased seed starter mix and filled each container with about 4 cups of the mix. Next, I made sure the soil was moist. 6. I sowed the seed, following directions for planting depth and coverage. Then I watered them into their winter home. 7. I marked each filled container in 2 places. I used a water-soluble pen and wrote on a plastic knife that I taped to the side, and I also labeled each jug by writing directly on the container. 8. At this point, I wished them all a good growing season and battened down the hatches. I used duct tape to seal the tops, and made sure the caps were off the jugs and took them outside. since I had a somewhat eclectic array of duct tape, including Mickey Mouse from a project with my grandbabies, my winter sewing project table was very colorful. Through January, February, and March, they endured snow, sleet, and rain, and I did nothing for them. By April, I was seeing some sprouting, and by May, significant growth. Near the end of May, I started transplanting my seedlings into pots and the gardens. The foxgloves were amazing. All the containers were full of new starts. It was amazing and a bit overwhelming. I would estimate I had about 60% success rate. Here are the reasons for the failures. 1. The holes in the bottom of the vinegar jugs and soft drink bottles clogged up so the water did not drain efficiently. That caused the containers to fill up with water, destroying the seedlings. Next year, I'll focus on ensuring better drainage. 2. My labeling system was a big miss. I double-labeled all the growing bins, but only half of the labels were still legible. I saved all the seed packets and had to do a guessing match game. My labeling system needs some adjusting before next season. 3. I need to be more proactive when transplanting the seedlings. I lost quite a few due to not separating, thinning, and putting them either into pots or safely into the ground. My lack of experience was an issue, but I learned and will do better next year. The bonus was I ended with hundreds of seedlings, from foxgloves to parsley to butterfly weed and more. It also helped me feel the need to get my hands in the dirt, even during the winter, and gave me something interesting to watch all winter long. Overall, I think my winter sowing project was a success. I hope you will give it a try. Now from HGTV's e-newsletter. Growing food through the cold season. Your garden does not have to stop producing when temperatures dip. In addition to using cold frames, try growing some of the hardiest crops. Grow your greens. The ideal time to plant fall crops is late summer, when soil temperatures are still warm. But if you miss the window of opportunity and the soil is cold, start the seedlings indoors as a container garden, then move them outside to a cold frame. Cool weather veggies vary in hardiness. Among the most tender of the lot, lettuce grows best at 50 to 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Growth slows as temperatures drop. Keep it in a cold frame. When the temperature falls below 30 degrees, lettuce is in trouble. Kale power. Kale produces even when temperatures are in the low 20s, and it can survive until temperatures dip below 5 degrees Fahrenheit. Year-round herb garden. Parsley is a cold-tolerant herb. Bring some indoors to keep your kitchen garden growing through winter. You can also try leaving some outside in a cold frame or covered in snow. Another cold-tolerant kitchen garden plant, chives. Grow for looks, not taste. Ornamental cabbages and kales are genetically the same as the varieties you grow as edible veggies, but while the ornamental forms are edible, they do not taste as good as their garden variety cousins. Still, they're often used to dress up a dish. The ornamental varieties hold well into winter, their colors intensifying with frost. If they've been gradually acclimated to the cold, they tolerate temperatures as low as 10 degrees Fahrenheit. Edible arrangements. Nasturtium is a cool weather, edible annual. Try seeding and growing it indoors as a fun and colorful winter gardening project. And put your veggies under wraps. A cold frame protects fall veggies from frost and, depending on its construction, offers temperatures at least a few degrees warmer than the air outside. During warm spells in the fall season, or if the cold frame is sitting in direct sun, roll up the polyfilm on the sides of the cold frame and attach it with tape to allow more airflow through the frame and prevent the veggies, from cooking inside. An easy-to-assemble cold frame. Place 4 bales of straw in a rectangle and set an old window over the open area in the middle. Now from the Garden Smart e-newsletter. 5 Fabulous Houseplants That Grow Anywhere by Justin Hancock, Costa Farms horticulturalist. I hear from folks all the time who say they cannot grow houseplants. I try to reassure them that there's no such thing as a brown thumb. Anyone can be successful with indoor plants. It's all a matter of picking the right plant for your conditions. The truth is that any houseplant is a cinch to grow if you have it in the right environment. And any given plant will be difficult and temperamental if it does not like the environment. That said, here are 5 plants we call plants of steel. Varieties that have a wide range of tolerances and can grow in a wide range of environments. Chinese evergreen, one of my all-time favorite plants. Chinese evergreen is even more exotic than it sounds. Its dark green, lance-shaped leaves are variegated with silvery green, giving it the lush look of a plant that's used to dwelling in a tropical rainforest. As you might expect from such a plant, it does not require a lot of light, but does not mind growing in brighter spots either. And it holds up well for a week or two without water. Just be sure to let the soil dry between waterings. Next, ponytail palm. Native to Mexico, ponytail palm is delightfully resilient of heat and drought. Do not get around to watering it for a week or two? No problem. While it thrives in bright spots indoors, it tolerates medium and even low light well. This slow-growing tree has a thick trunk and grassy-looking leaves, giving it the effect of a bonsai putting on a hula skirt. Snake plant. Snake plant is an oldie but a good one. Popular even before my grandmother started gardening, it features stiff, upright leaves that lend it another common name, mother-in-law's tongue. Like the other houseplants here, it grows in low light, thrives in medium light, and does not mind high light. And it's just as laissez-faire when it comes to watering. Super Atom Philodendron, a new variety that's amazingly resilient. Philodendron Super Atom survives pretty much any home or office as long as there's enough light, natural or artificial, to read by most of the day. Its ruffled leaves are delightfully textural, and its compact habit keeps it tidy, unlike some of its more common cousins. Water it once a week or two when the top inch of the potting mix dries, and that's pretty much all there is to enjoy this easy care beauty. Zizi plant. At first glance, you might guess Zizi plant is plastic because its leaves are so thick and shiny. You can practically treat it like it's plastic, too. Those rubbery leaves hold water for the plant, allowing it to power through dry spells in its native environment, or your office desk. It thrives in both natural and artificial light, so it's equally easy to enjoy at home and at work. Next, from Dave's Garden e-newsletter. Nature looks dead in winter because her life is gathered into her heart. She withers the plant down to the root that she may grow it up again, fairer and stronger. That was said by Hugh McMillan. Now, six abominable winter vegetables you can grow in the snow by Laura Foreman. Despite the natural state of dormancy that most plants undertake for the winter months, if you choose the correct varieties, you can grow yummy veggies all winter long. Whether to boost your sustainability credentials or you just want to see if you can pull it off, these tips should keep your garden producing even during the colder months. For gardeners in areas who can expect frost, ice, and a fair amount of snowfall, these are vegetables you should limit yourself to for winter gardening this season. Before you pull on your garden gloves and get out your tools, there are a few things to keep in mind. Plants won't grow as large or quickly in wintry conditions, so temper your expectations. Although these plants will grow when the temperatures drop, they won't grow as big or as quickly as in optimal conditions. Another factor to consider is some form of coverage. While these veggies are cold hardy, they may still need some physical covering to protect them from the harshest of the elements. Cold cover cloth or cold frames are common ways to shield your crops from chilly weather. Super hardy veggies. All of these veggies can not only survive a hard frost, but can also handle temperatures below 28 degrees. Spinach. It's not only chock full of vitamins, but also hardy enough to survive whatever winter throws at it. For the best winter yield possible, plant varieties like Bloomsdale Longstanding Spinach or Giant Winter Spinach. As the name implies, these are especially suited to grow even when temperatures drop. Broccoli is also super hardy, and while you may not see giant broccoli florets during the winter season, there will be enough to add to your favorite stir-fry recipe or stew. Because you're gambling against the weather this season, it's important to give your vegetables the best chance possible. This means your gardening techniques need to be tip-top. For example, broccoli will grow most effectively in soil that is mildly acidic, and spacing is also an important factor. Leave 18 to 24 inches of space between your sprouts. Kale is the faithful staple of winter gardens. Seriously, it's not a plant you can easily kill, as it can survive even when it hits the 20 degrees range. Your kale may not grow as tall or have as many leaves, especially if it becomes overwintered and bolts in the spring. However, it will still flourish, and colder conditions can actually change the flavor of your harvest and make them taste sweeter. Other greens that survive the season include salad greens like arugula. Garlic is often planted in fall and, as a result, does most of its growing during the winter months. Although you cannot see beneath the surface to see the bulb developing, you can see the green scapes growing. Trim them periodically to add to salads, soups, and other dishes for a mild garlic taste. Leeks also do the majority of their growing during this winter months. Do not sow any leeks you plant until spring months to get the most growth. Radishes are small anyway, but they continue to grow during winter months. since they have such a short growth window, typically about a month, you may be able to get several harvests during the cold winter months. Vegetables that survive some of what winter offers. These may not be as hardy as winter hardy options, but they'll still be okay if temperatures dip to the 28 to 32 degree range. Lettuce, radicchio, endive are a few of the salad greens that can take a bit of cold and frost. If you fancy a winter salad, grow these for yummy salads all season long. Carrots do their best growth during the winter months. Although the green part may die back in the cold temperatures, the root will still grow. Parsley can grow in a variety of conditions, even the cold. It'll remain surprisingly hardy when the air dips to freezing. Clip a bunch before the weather turns too cold so you can enjoy fresh parsley in your soups and stews. Celery is an essential part of any soup stock and continues to grow and will survive winter months. Peas are also a crucial element of a yummy soup or warming winter pasty. They also grow for a bit in the winter and prefer the cooler temperatures of the late winter and early spring. Cabbage is another vegetable that will grow throughout the early part of the winter and early spring. Harvest it before the coldest part of the winter to use in stews and other hot dishes. What's the best part about snow in the garden? Snow cover actually acts as an insulating mulch in the garden and may keep the soil below warm enough for the plants to survive throughout the cold winter months. If you live in an area that gets more rain than snow, you may have to worry about rot. If that's the case, cover your veggies with clear plastic tunnels to ensure they do not get drenched and suffer from rot. Also, be sure to place mulch around the base of the plants to insulate the soil. And now from Jerry Baker's terrific garden tonics, a holiday houseplant tonic. Nothing makes a nicer gift than a pretty potted plant. To keep holiday houseplants chipper long after the holidays are gone, feed them with this power-packed potion. Ingredients: 1/4 cup of beer, 1/2 tablespoon unflavored gelatin, 1/2 tablespoon fish emulsion, 1/2 tablespoon vitamin B1 plant starter, 1/2 tablespoon of ammonia, 1/2 tablespoon instant tea granules, and 1 gallon of water. Instruction: mix these ingredients together in a watering can and use the solution every time you water your holiday plants to help keep them lush and lovely. And don't get foiled. If you're lucky enough to receive a beautiful potted plant as a holiday gift, keep in mind the colorful foil wrapping that covers the pot is just for display. It can actually be harmful if left on for long, so remove it after several days to prevent problems. In the meantime, poke your finger through the foil on the bottom of the pot. Otherwise, excess water will have no way to drain out, and your plant will drown. And now, ask Jerry. Question: how often should I water the potted plant I received as a gift during the holidays? Answer: most potted gift plants are as easy to water as common houseplants. Water them well when the soil feels dry to the touch. Then don't water again until the soil feels dry. The exceptions are mums, cinerarias, and hydrangeas, all of which require a daily drink. Quench their thirst by filling a bucket about half full of tepid water and submerging the entire pot in the water. Let it sit a few minutes, then remove and drain before returning to the plant to its window seat. And then here's a wonderful weed killer. Garden paths don't have problems with pests and diseases the way flowers do, but that does not mean they are totally carefree. Cracks make perfect homes for pesky weeds, which can spoil the looks of your beautiful flower garden before you know it. So fix up those paths as soon as you can. And in the meantime, use my wonderful weed killer to tidy things up. Ingredients: 1 gallon of vinegar, 1 cup of table salt, 1 tablespoon of dishwashing liquid. Instructions: mix these ingredients in a bucket until the salt has dissolved. Pour the solution along cracks to kill weeds between bricks or stones in walkways. Caution: do not spray it on plants that you want to keep, and do not pour it on soil that you plan to garden in someday. And send weeds to a watery grave. Weeds growing up between paving stones or in gravel paths can drive you crazy. Here's a super simple solution. Boil up a tea kettle full of water and give those pesky weeds a good dousing. One treatment will do in young seedlings, but for older, more stubborn types, repeat once a week until they stop coming back. Grandma Putt's pointers. Whenever I see Gene Kelly dancing to Singing in the Rain, I think of my Grandma Putt. We always weeded in the rain. Oh, well, actually, after a rain. You see, weed roots come up easily when the soil is moist, so the best time to attack them is after a rain. And singing while you're weeding makes the work go that much faster. Now from Ask Jerry. Question: a few months ago, I used beer in margarine tubs sunk into the ground to trap slugs. It worked like a charm, but buying all that beer can get expensive. Is there a cheaper alternative I can use? Answer: yes, there is, and it is grape juice. Believe it or not, it works just as well and costs a whole lot less than beer. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Cindy Fowler, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.